Good morning. Today is Thursday, October the 7th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff, Mr. Billy Hansel. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
We are here, and so are you. Okay, that's as close to singing as I'm going to get.
Okay.
Are you ready for your question this morning?
I am. What's the question?
Considering your wardrobe, this is almost apropos.
Okay.
Why are so many military uniforms colored khaki? I guess we could probably say quasi-military also.
Because it kind of blends into the environment?
Khaki uniforms were introduced in 1857 in India at the time of a general uprising of native troops against the British rulers. The British soldiers, finding that their white uniforms made them too good a target for the snipers, attempted to camouflage them with mud and dust to make them blend in better with the dusty desert background. The British officer picked up on the idea and commissioned a cloth manufacturer to make dust-colored uniforms. The color is called khaki after a Hindustani word for dust-colored.
Dust-colored khaki.
So now a little bit of international language.
I feel like I'm appropriately dressed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that a pink?
That is a pink patch. So October.
So you've got a special shirt just for October?
October. Yes, I got the pink patches. So Sheriff's Office has
the bear is
in project.
Pink.
Yeah, the bear is still brown, but we have a pink patch in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, breast cancer, you know, struck my family a couple years ago. My mother-in-law passed away from cancer, and it's a near and dear thing to my heart, and as well as a lot of employees that actually battled breast cancer in the Sheriff's Office. And so it's something we started a couple years back. And it is something that we fully support, and we're partnering with a couple other nonprofits to try and bring awareness to breast cancer awareness. And
wait a minute, isn't this normally where you go fuzzy?
Well, fuzzy?
Is it October you go fuzzy?
No, that's November. So that's No Shave November.
Oh,
that's something different. We do for a completely different thing. So October, November, we kind of do some different stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So next month you'll get me
fuzzy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you'll only be a couple days into
it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You just look like you're on vacation. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So we were down in Sacramento this past week and drove up. All I was thinking of was harvest season. You know, particularly through Lake County.
Right.
And some of the challenges that those folks have had. How far along is Humboldt County in the permitting process versus Lake, Colusa, any of the other counties that are kind of in the neighborhood that are just as warm and just as arid as we are? Are we still out in front, or is everybody kind of on the same boat?
We are out front still. You know, we are really leading the way throughout the state regarding our county permits and state permits. And, you know, there's the other counties that are catching up. But what we're doing here is something that I think, you know, even though there's criticism, you know, amongst how things were rolled out, I think you have to look back and we were building this, you know, car as we were driving it, so to speak, or plane as we're flying it, I think is either one of those things.
Yeah.
So anyway, it worked out as best as it possibly could. We have, I think, 1,000 farms that are permitted and more still in the process. And, you know, I think overall the enforcement aspect, even though we need more enforcement, there's still thousands of illegal grows in our county. It is much less than what it was just 3 years ago. Much less.
Is part of that the economics have really been kind of tipped on their head?
Absolutely. So a lot of them had to do with outdoor grows. And so with what code enforcement was doing with identifying these illegal grows through satellite imagery and then noticing the property owner that said, you know, you have 30 days to abate or we're coming with the sheriff's office, it got people's attention. And also the property owners were on the hook for all the environmental damage. So it just took a couple of those property owners to realize this isn't lucrative anymore. And they shut down their illegal operations. Now, what it's done is, you know, some of these property owners have gone underground again, like we saw in the 80s and 90s. And
no, underground, you mean like the old basement grows? The
basement grows, okay. Barn grows.
Well, at least you
canopies.
Know what you're dealing with.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And so, but it's not the vast amount of outdoor grows that we saw just 3 years ago. And also, the people that are wanting to grow illegally like that and to scale are growing in other counties. You should see Siskiyou County. You should see some of these other counties that have zero resources, Trinity County. And those places have all these illegal grows, and they have a huge problem.
Well, not as many
problems
in Trinity County as there was in June.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you imagine some of those
200,000 acres burning up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So these other guys aren't quite at the same level as what Humboldt is. With the grows that are there, the permitted ones, or I guess the legalized ones, are they easy to work with? Are they?
It depends.
I would,
people are still leery. Okay, so we get phone calls. Our sheriff's office gets phone calls. Board of supervisors get phone calls about helicopters flying over permitted grows. You know, so there's a lot of helicopters
the
fly over.
The PG&E.
Well, so coppers? They don't know, but it's most of the time it is PG&E. They're flying low,
respecting lines,
that kind of stuff. But any kind of low flying aircraft over a legal grow is going to spark a phone call. The people are still
even illegal grow.
Yes, and I tell them, if you're legal, you have nothing to worry about. Wave at the helicopter. Be like a elementary school kid. When the elementary school kid sees a helicopter flying over, how excited.
Yeah.
They wave. That's what they should do, too. You're permitted. You have nothing to worry about. We don't just randomly go and knock down plants. If we happen to fly over something that we're not familiar with, we do our due diligence. We're looking at the maps. We're looking at the permits. We're looking at all those things prior to authorizing any kind of search warrant. So,
but you're at a higher level than what the little
helicopters. Yes, we're over 500 feet, and we're flying in planes now. We're flying in other things that we try to stay
out of.
So
you do have the corporate jet.
We don't have a corporate jet, but we do have other high-flying planes.
I see.
You too.
Have there been, I guess is probably more accurate, with some of the grows, legal or illegal, the illegal aliens also. That had been part and parcel of this early on is
either
the fear of being turned in
if
you said anything, the cartel drug overlays.
Is that
element still there?
It is still there, absolutely. So when you're looking at when pot used to be $3,000 a pound, labor was in abundance, right? You could pay someone $200-$300 a pound. People wanted to be there, and labor was in wide demand. Now, with the price getting to be $500 to $700 a pound, you can't pay, to have half your profits to the person that's trimming your weed. And so right now, labor's become the biggest issue. And human trafficking has become an issue again.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sheriff Billy Hansel. Considering some of the challenges that a lot of people have with labor, just getting bodies, whether it's the restaurant, the retailer.
Sheriff's office.
I was going to say different law enforcement agencies. You wouldn't think that the pot farmer would be any different unless this infusion of money from the Chris Webbers and the Jim Belushis of the world that are behind this, a lot of it, are just throwing money in and it's okay and don't worry about it. So they're having those same
issues. Absolutely. And so we've heard this at Board of Supervisors meetings and other places where you have farmers that are upset because they're not making as much money. And so their profit margins become a lot smaller. They're looking for things like tax relief. They're looking for some incentives, you know, from the state and the county to try and, you know, fix this stuff. And it's like all of us
tough
now.
To get PPP.
Absolutely. You know, I'm just saying that it's like, you know, yeah, we all want tax relief. And you know what? You know, you look at any business plan, and you can't go out the first year of starting a business and expect to make $1 million profit. But the marijuana industry, I believe, is trying to. Well,
reality means
the
not
reality,
be there.
Right? Yeah. But you know, you have a lot to invest in, and you know, it is the economy of scale here. You know, the bigger farmers are going to be sustainable through these short times, and I think those bigger farmers are going to be the ones that do pay the higher salaries, that do pay the higher amount to have their weed trimmed, and
and their infrastructure is probably going to be more stable and
right.
more long term, and just all the various things about either you have the capital to be able to invest or you don't, and if you don't, you got to do things differently.
Right, exactly. So I just think it is, you know, of course everyone wants a break, but you know, in reality, the state charges a whole lot more than the county. I mean, we're just doing by square foot, you know, and if you're growing 10,000 square foot, which is that's a small farm. I mean, it's like, that's like barely permittable, I guess. You know, 5 to 10,000 is like the smallest permit that you can get.
So we double our building here.
Right. You're paying $10,000 a year for an outdoor grow. $10,000 a year. And you can make, you know, if you're hustling, 2 or 3 turns outdoor, you know, based upon how you do it. And, you know, if you do mixed light, then you can do all year. And so you're paying double that. So you're paying $20,000, but you're turning out a lot of product. And so, but it eventually will be like every other farm agricultural product, and people won't be making a ton of money because it'll be grown everywhere in the United States. And we're slowly seeing that. Virtually every place, I think, except 10 states have some sort of marijuana legalized, whether it's medical,
yeah,
CBD,
yeah,
or hemp, or, you know.
Now, with the processing facilities, are you guys involved with that as far as code enforcement also, whether it's just the straight, I guess, leaf product or some of the other renditions of that? Are you involved at that level too?
So the sheriff's office is not, but the county is. So regulating those
and
permitting those.
Code enforcement isn't part of your responsibility at that level?
No. Code enforcement is planning and building. And so they work with the manufacturers and all the other stuff, the back end of the marijuana industry. So.
And transportation licensing is not an area
county and
you're
state.
Concerned with?
Yep, county and state. That's a part of their plans.
So as you're looking at the state of the industry today versus 4 years ago, what are the big bugaboos right now?
So, I think it's working. I really do. I think it's working, though they're complaining about regulation. I think that's the state of California.
Take a number on that one.
So every industry is regulated in California. But overall, I think we see a lot of successes. I think we see the less, you know, illegal grows here in our county. We see the ones that are permitted are thriving. They're doing good. And it's all about, you know, competition. So the people that are marketing right and have a good product, you know, will be making money into the future. And there's been a lot of great, you know, things that have occurred because people have money, they're investing in infrastructure, and, you know, they're revitalizing certain areas of some of the cities. And property values are going up. So, you know, that's one of the things that I think they're looking at.
Some of the issues with labor in the past, though, were not the pleasant side, if mm-hmm. you will, you know,
right.
Whether it's some of the funny documentaries that were done or just the realities that you guys deal with. Has that lightened up at all?
You know, there's still criminal element. So we still have organized crime. We still have people that are on, you know, the illegal side, and they're bringing in a bad element here to our county. And you know, Humboldt, Trinity, Mendocino County still has really bad actors that are part of damaging our environment, that would rather, you know, hurt people, kill people, you know, than to pay them. And so that is still alive and well. And I think until essentially the profit is gone out of marijuana, you're still going to have people, part of the criminal element, that are going to do whatever they can to try and grow as much, to damage the environment and to sell it, you know, places where they can, you know, get top dollar.
I would think things like water tanks, yeah, it would be one of those critical infrastructures so that you're not having some of the challenges with the environmental law that you hear about, you know, the water diversions or
yeah.
Even the fact that, you know, if you're in a drought, okay, we're supposed to get pretty damp this next year.
Right.
Okay, put those things out there, use them as cisterns, and, you know, you're off to the races. Are you seeing those types of things in the plantations that you visit?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're seeing now is, you know, the state and county has set up the way that, you know, that from essentially, I think it's end of October, November 1st through the end of March, so April 1st, you can divert water. And people are storing water in massive tanks. And they're doing it, and they're doing it well. And they're seeing that the major fines come from people that divert water after that date.
Yeah, well, boundaries are boundaries,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. You know, even though they may not be quite as solid as we would like.
That's true.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. What's out there on the radar screen that really has kind of got your knickers in a knot?
Knickers in a knot? You might have to explain that to me.
Predates your your folks, but concerns. I was in Michigan a couple weeks ago, one of my radio buddies is in Susanville, and he said that they can't figure out what's going on. They spent so much money putting into that facility. And then they were going to close it. I guess there's an injunction or something, so it's being held up. But you don't hear about new prisons being built anymore in the state. And you look at San Quentin and Folsom, and you know those things got to be falling apart.
Right.
You know, maybe we'll have tours of those like we have with Alcatraz.
Right.
And it'll be about in the same condition, I think.
Yes.
What is the status of incarceration in the state?
Are you trying to get my blood pressure up? Is that what you're trying to do today?
I've got some extra pills for you if you need them.
There's kind of like just been this theme over the last several years that state prisons are bad. And, you know, we had, thanks to AB 109 and a 3-judge panel that basically said the prison system was overcrowded. And Governor Brown at that time said, we're going to realign. We're going to put some of the state prison responsibilities of housing inmates to the county jails. And at that point in time, our county jails became mini prisons. And it continues to be that way. In the meantime, people are still committing crimes that are serious and violent in nature that people do get sentenced to prison. And so we're sending people to prison, you know, every week, and yet they still feel like it's a good idea to shut down prisons. So there's two prisons that the state proposed to shut down. These are not prisons that are falling apart. These are prisons that are working, that are operating, that have inmates in them, and that are needed to keep the population down overall in the state. They are needed.
So is this just a balancing of the budget?
It's a budget issue. So the state saved hundreds of millions of dollars by letting a whole bunch of state prisoners out during COVID. Had COVID, you know, restrictions, and they had early releases, and the governor signed people away. And so they were saving millions of dollars. And then also housing the people that should go to prison, we were on hold. So we were housing people that should have gone to prison for months. So the state did pay us back for housing those, but it was probably at much less cost than actually what they were being charged, you know, for state prison. So it is ridiculous that they would even consider that. And they are. They're considering it. And the plans are to shut down two prisons.
So at this point, with those two prisons still functioning and being open, you don't hear that there's an awful lot of space in your facility.
We're not. We don't have adequate space.
Is it because of the separation because of the virus, or is it because there's just no room in the inn?
Just take away the coronavirus. Yeah, that's difficult right now because we have to have a quarantine area. There's a lot of issues there, and we're also remodeling for ADA, you know, parts of the jail, so we have to shut down one dorm at a time.
You have to do those yellow bumps too?
The equivalent. We had to move some of our showers by an inch and a half, and so we're spending millions of dollars by creating our wider shower. Yes, it is absolutely crazy, the amount of... Anyway, so again, my blood pressure. As far as, you know, yes, we are housing some people. Our jail was full before COVID. We were over 400 capacity. And these are the people that, again, should be realigned to state prison because state prison does have room. They're under their cap for the first time in years.
Oh, really? So you can't bump them back?
So they are. They can't. They're not saying, hey, listen, we're under our cap. We're able to take more people. We'll go and take the people that are sentenced over a year. No, they're not reassuming that responsibility. And they're not even talking about building any new state prisons, even though the state seems to be super funded right now, and they're giving away money like you wouldn't believe. And public safety, roads, mental health are the things they should really be focusing on right now. Those are things throughout the state that we just need to really get a grip on. And, you know,
suffering from it.
It
so
is.
You think that there'd be almost a groundswell.
But they're not. I see them getting the pass all the time. And so they need to create something here that holds people accountable, right? And so someone who commits a misdemeanor crime, if they're not going to be held accountable, they're going to continue with that behavior, right? This is just classic what happens in kindergarten, right?
So a glass door busted out, you know, about a block away from your facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, it's probably the same clown that's been breaking out windows and everybody knows who it is.
That's right.
But, you know, you can't shackle them.
They get, this is what happens with that person. They find them, they arrest them, they put them in county jail. It's a misdemeanor. We look at our population and it's not a serious and violent offense. We go, well, we really can't house him unless he truly is, you know, a menace to society, a danger to society. So he goes out with a court date 30 days from now. And then if the DA picks the case up and decides to prosecute, he shows up to court, he's going to get a slap on the wrist, you know, a fine, probation grant. Less likely to go to jail, even though they can go to jail. And that's where I'm really petitioning the judges to please sentence people to jail. Even though I don't have a lot of room, I have options at that point in time that I can put them out on a sheriff's work alternative program. We can negotiate to get them into a treatment program. There's a lot of things, diversions, a lot of leeway that I can have if someone is sentenced to county jail.
So the judges aren't interested in that?
Judges are putting people on probation because they feel like it's just... You know, just one of those things. And I just
so is
really
it a communication issue between you and the judges?
We have talked to the judges about that. The DA keeps reminding the judges of it. And it's just something that just needs to happen. They just need to sentence people to jail. And then I can work with them. I can work with probation. I can work with these other agencies to kind of get people into the services they need.
Maybe if the judges had to park on the street instead of down in the basement.
Yeah, that would be.
They might be subject to. Yeah, at least seeing what's going on instead of being so as isolated as they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch your blood pressure, bud.
Yeah, for
KINS,
sure.
News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So with this scenario that the governor and I suppose the State Department of Corrections has set up, how do you unwind this thing? Short of all the electeds jumping up and down,
No, there needs to be, like you said, like the groundswell that happens. And it starts on the local level, pressuring our Board of Supervisors, pressuring our state assembly and our state senator, talking to them about it, talking about them about the hardships that we have. Right now, in one of the hardships...
Will logic play this game, or does it have to get into the emotion, or they have to deal with something personally, and then that goes click?
I would say that. I'd say it has to be something personal, and it has to be a story. It has to be something that is in play. But you see on the streets, everyone sees it here in Eureka, Fortuna, Arcata. It doesn't matter where you are in Humboldt County. I was in Blue Lake having a meeting the other day, and they have the same issues that are in Eureka. Homelessness, mental health, break-ins, that kind of thing.
Trinidad does. Everybody
yes,
does.
Everyone
right?
does. And yeah. So I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, socialist, doesn't matter, okay? Their issue is that the state is not taking care of their responsibilities. The state responsible for housing state prison inmates by properly sentencing people that are committing crimes and holding people accountable and then helping people that are identified with mental illness. Right now, mental illness is through the roof. And a lot of people are speculating as why. Why, you know, the drug culture, drug scene, the prevalence of drugs out there, I think definitely does have a hand in this. But the fact is that we don't have the facilities to help people get back on their feet or get them stabilized has definitely been an issue. And so why not regionalize? Why not, you know, having a facility here that can handle the people that have some deep emotional and mental
and large
illness?
Large enough to really be regional, 300-400.
It needs to be, and no one wants to put forth, you know, $20-$50 million for a mental health facility, but that's what's necessary.
But doesn't the state have those dollars available?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, we're talking, they have millions of dollars. You know, there was like $1 billion or something handed out with EDD fraud, you know? So people taking this money for benefits.
That's a good first step.
Right, and so it's like, there you go. So if you had $1 billion to spend fraudulently on you know, people, false claims, then I think we have $1 billion to put down towards mental illness. And I think that is somewhere throughout the state that's definitely needed, especially the rural parts. We don't have the facilities to back that up.
Wouldn't it be cool if we got one here, properly funded and staffed and stuff? Gladys Strope, with all the work that she put into it,
right?
To have something like that that would really serve as a linchpin, and start turning this tide. Because like as you said, it seems to be more and more prevalent.
So,
is the percentage of the population that is recognized, I guess, mentally unstable or needing assistance, has that number stabilized? Is it growing just as
it's
the population
growing.
Is growing?
It's growing. So, and the reason why I really know that, I mean, I can anecdotally just look around and see it's growing, but I see in our jail facility, we are treating more people with mental illness now than we've ever done before. And so our population is at 300-something, and we're treating more now than when we had a 400-population jail. I mean, it is...
So that's not a reflection of the state pushing back down those...
No, people.
This is just
this is just prevalence. This is just prevalence. We have a Semper Virens that's always full. We have the impact on our hospitals. You look at St. Joe's and the amount of issues they have with people that are mentally ill. It prevents them from really doing their job of treating people that are truly sick here, and it's also driving good doctors away.
Is Juvie Hall also experiencing?
Juvenile Hall is completely different now because we don't have really juveniles that are committing the heinous crimes that they used to, or it's a different process, a lot of probation. There's not a lot of
so
kids
that's a
in
little
juvenile
bit better
hall.
Situation than what it was.
Yes,
so
we have
that's
a,
good.
We have a brand new juvenile hall, and I think it has 30 some odd beds, and I don't know the exact number, but last time I checked, it was, you know, below 20 that were in there.
So nice to know that they're not
caught
it's
not
up
over,
into this also.
Yes.
So as you look down the road, we got the fentanyl stuff that's going on, and meth is still out there, and all these other wonderful developments. Is there a way to stem this, to slow it down, to stop it? Or is this going to be a management issue rather than a reduction issue?
Well, I think what you have to do is you have to look at the drugs as an issue. You know, and you know, the time is, like in the past, they said... They've basically decriminalized a lot of the drugs, right? And so it's a misdemeanor. There's not really anyone that's held accountable for having possession of simple, you know, small amounts of methamphetamine or heroin. But it's like holding those people accountable and getting them into treatment. Once you hold them accountable, it's really going to make a difference for them. And see these people trapped in their addiction and doing something about it, I think is where we have to go as a society. I mean, you see these people on the side of the road. I mean, it is sad. It's sad to see where these people are trapped. And no one is there to help them because these people don't want help. They only will receive help when they're at either rock bottom, they're mentally, physically, you know, incapacitated, or they go to jail.
They're forced
into making a decision to be sober.
Your new facility.
Yes.
The new
863, yes.
I know that you're going to have some limited in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not going to take care of it. What kind of timeline is that on?
It's at the State Fire Marshal. We hope to break ground the next 6 months.
So sometime before spring?
I hope so. That's knock on wood. You know, next summer is probably a more realistic approach.
But, you know, if it's happening, it's happening.
Yes.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.